episode 46. Welcome to the Take Up Code podcast, where you can learn valuable insights and skills in programming. I'm Waheed Tanner, and will be your host today. Iterators give you the ability to navigate from one item to another in a collection and track a specific position within a collection. This episode is part two and continues describing even more advanced iterator topics. The best way to become a professional programmer is to start writing code. If you're not actually typing code, building it, and running it, then you're missing more than half of what you need to be doing. Have you considered attending a Take Up Code free live class? Text PROGRAM to 44222 and you'll be on your way. The first thing to understand is that iterators are a concept. They're an idea, and because of this, anything that behaves like an iterator is an iterator. The previous episode mentioned how you can work with raw pointers in a basic array as if they are iterators. Pointers are iterators because they can be advanced forward or backward and know how to move the appropriate number of bytes. They can move from one item to the next without you needing to worry about how they do this. And they remember what item they currently point to. That's all it takes for anything to be an iterator. This means that you can create iterators that look like they follow these rules, but actually do very different things. These are still iterators, and this is why I decided to talk about these in a second episode. Be ready to think about things in a very different way. Here we go. The first topic I'll explain is called reverse iterators. How is a reverse iterator any different than just going backward through a bidirectional iterator? Well, going backward means that you have to be decrementing your iterator, and that's an operation that's not available in forward iterators. So if you have code that only expects to work with forward iterators, then there's no way for that code to go backward because it will have been written to only go forward. That is, unless you trick it by giving the code a reverse iterator. Now your code thinks it's going forward when in fact it's going backward. Why would you ever want to do this? Doesn't this seem like just some unnecessary complications? If you know how to drive a car, then you'll know that turning the steering wheel to the right will cause your car to move toward the right, and it doesn't matter if you're going forward or backward. You're going to move toward the right any time you turn the steering wheel to the right. But what if you have a trailer attached to your car or truck? Going forward doesn't change anything, but backing up with the trailer takes some getting used to. This is because turning the steering wheel to the right when backing up will cause the trailer to go to the left. It's backwards, and our internal programming needs to adapt. If this was a computer program, though, you could leave the code fairly unchanged by giving it something that behaves in the opposite direction. The code thinks it's turning the steering wheel to the right and the trailer moves to the right. Problem solved. It worked because turning the steering wheel to the right actually caused it to turn to the left. Code that works with iterators can be adapted in the same way. The code thinks it's moving forward when in fact it's moving backward. This works because when you increment a reverse iterator, the position that iterator points to becomes the previous position and not the next. So by going forward, you actually end up going backward. For collection types that expose bidirectional iterators, you can get reverse iterators by calling the rbegin and rend methods. These iterators have been adapted to work in reverse, and that includes how the end iterator points to an imaginary item outside of the collection. The difference with reverse iterators is that the rbegin method returns an iterator pointing to the last item, and the rend method returns an iterator pointing to an item before the collection. This is opposite of how the begin and end methods work. Just something to be aware of. In addition to explaining reverse iterators, I'll explain two other additional iterator categories and four types of iterator adapters right after this message from our sponsor. Even the most famous programming experts had to start somewhere. The one thing that all professional programmers share is that we take action. Go ahead, text program to 44222 now. If you're not actually typing code, building it, and running it, then you're missing more than half of what you need to be doing. It's hard, I know, to get started, and if you need some help, then all you need to do is register for one of the Take Up Code free live classes. You can attend with just your computer and an internet connection from anywhere in the world. These are live workshops instead of just lectures. You get enough lecturing already. These are fun workshops. You have enough boring tasks already. And these are focused on results. You get tangible results from the beginning. Text the word PROGRAM to 44222 and you'll be on your way. You can also visit takeupcode.com to begin. You know about forward, bidirectional, and random access iterator categories from the previous episode. There are two more categories that you can use. The first category is called input iterators. With these types of iterators, your iterator moves forward as you read or process items. The input stream iterators that I'm about to explain are an example. Input iterators only allow you to read or process an item once because that's how they advance to the next item. The second category is called output iterators. This type of iterator advances as you write data. The output stream iterators and inserters that I'm about to explain are examples of output iterators. You might sometimes be able to write multiple values to the same location, but this is not guaranteed, and normally writing a value would cause the iterator to advance. As for iterator adapters, well, I snuck one in already. Reverse iterators are considered an iterator adapter because they change the direction that the iterator advances. I'll explain the second type, move iterator adapters, quickly. Normally, when you work with iterators to specify a range of values to work with, then the values are copied. You can sometimes get better performance by moving values instead of copying them. Move iterator adapters allow you to move items. I'll explain the concept called move semantics in a future episode. For a real-life example of this, though, just think about what you do when you move to a new house. Do you throw away all your furniture, clothes, and possessions and buy new stuff for your new house? Most of us don't do that. We normally move our stuff instead of trying to recreate everything. The third type of iterator adapter is called an insert iterator. This is an example of an output iterator because when you write a value to an insert iterator, it doesn't overwrite the current position. Instead, it inserts the value that you write. There are three types of insert iterators. Back inserters append new items to the end of a collection. Front inserters insert new items to the beginning of a collection. You can only use this type of insert iterator with collection types that allow efficient insert operations to the beginning. This means that you can't use a front inserter with the vector because vectors use arrays, and inserting items in an array is a big O of N operation. This is not efficient, so it's not allowed. General inserters insert new items right before the item that was used to construct the general inserter adapter. The general inserters do this by calling a method on a collection called insert. Now, here's an interesting aspect to this. General inserters are the only type of insert adapter that you can use for associative and unordered containers. But these types of containers are not what you might expect to have an insert method, right? I mean, for a set or map, insert doesn't make sense because they use binary trees where the order depends on the value and not on where you want something to be inserted. And for unordered sets and unordered maps, they use a hash table, where there's no concept of order at all. Why would these containers provide an insert method? They actually use it as a hint for where to start looking and are otherwise free to completely ignore where you want something inserted. Insert iterators provide no means for you to advance them. Trying to advance an insert iterator adapter will have no effect. This makes sense if you think about it. Take the back inserter, for example. It's defined to always insert at the end of a collection. Advancing past the end should not cause it to start inserting somewhere else. So it just ignores any attempt to advance the iterator and just keeps on inserting a new item at the end of a collection anytime you write a value to the iterator. The last type of iterator adapter I'll explain are the stream iterator adapters. A real-life stream with water flowing over rocks is actually a very good example to understand streams. That might actually be where the name came from. Think of the water flowing as if this was information flowing by. If you catch some of the water, look at it, and let it back, it's gone. You can also pour more water into a stream, and it just joins up with the other water and moves on as well. How long will the stream of water last? Some streams can go on for a long time. Others might dry up a few hours after the rain stops. For programming, a stream is a flow of information. If you open a file and start reading information out of the file, this is a stream. You can also open a file to write information. This is also a stream. Usually streams are classified as either input or output, but they can be both too sometimes. If you need to open a file to read some information and write some other information, then this is an input and output stream. Streams can also be more than just files. Think of your keyboard. A keyboard is a source of information that comes from you as you press the keys. This information continues as long as you keep pressing keys. This is an input stream because the information is flowing into the computer. For modern computers, we don't normally think of the display as a stream anymore. It's all graphical now. But older computers had displays that could only display text, and this text was organized in lines and columns. A program could send text to the display, and once it was sent and appeared on the display, then it was done. This is an output stream. You can adapt streams in the form of iterators that allow you to advance the iterator when reading. That's an input stream iterator. Or advance the iterator when writing. That's an output stream iterator. With stream iterator adapters, you can use them to read and write values to a stream instead of a collection that exists only in the computer's memory. This could be a file on disk, a keyboard, a text display, or some other stream. Maybe your computer has a source of true random numbers that just keep flowing. You could read these numbers with a stream iterator adapter. Thank you for listening. Make sure to check out the other episodes, and if you get value, please give the Take Up Code podcast a rating, hopefully 5 stars, and a review. I'll select several people who take the time to provide thoughtful reviews, good or bad, and give you a shout out and a big thank you during our Q&A Fridays. Your support goes a long way to helping this podcast thrive and help others learn how to program. If you have any questions about this episode or even other programming questions, please ask. Just go to takeupcode.com/contact and submit your question. The Q&A Friday episodes are where I'll answer one or more submitted questions. Until next time, keep learning, but even better, keep doing. If you want to learn how to program, then start programming. And you will learn and get better, and your mind will expand in ways you never thought possible.